Gilead is one of my favorite songs. I know it's one of your favorite songs, Rose, isn't it? It's one of my favorite songs. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Words like that resound in our spirits. Words like that resound in our souls and speak to us of the powerful, life-transforming presence of the grace of God. Sadly, sometimes boys like me can be a little naughty. And sometimes those boys grow up and they're still naughty, like me. Amen. Now that's not a time for amen. When I was in seminary, I used to sit in the back pew in chapel. I've told this story many times. I used to sit in the back pew in chapel with my friends. And we used to sit back there, Paul Longmire and myself and a few others, Methodist and Episcopalian and Presbyterian and Lutheran and Roman Catholics, just sit in the back pew back there during chapel on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings with our hymnals. And when we would get bored with the sermon, which was usually about 3 out of 3 days, in other words, every day, we'd sit back there and we would go through the hymnal and change the titles and change the words. And when we came to this one, I couldn't stand it. And so I rewrote it. There is a balm in Gilead to blow the wounded up. And I wrote it in there. Naughty me. And then one day in chapel, I couldn't get my normal spot. I was late. And I'm sitting where I don't normally sit, and I look over and I see Dr. Eford, my Greek professor, sitting in my normal seat. And I notice the hymn appointed for the middle of the service is There is a Balm in Gilead. And I go, oh no, please, Dr. Eford, please don't look, please don't look, please don't look. Sing it from memory, please, 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 please. And sure enough, he pulls out the hymnal. And he opens it to There is a Balm in Gilead. And you see him look, and then you see him look again, and then you see him look again, and then he looks around. And then he shows it to the person sitting next to him, and that person, another professor, looks around. And then they see me, and I'm trying to hide, and they point at me. I got myself in trouble. To this day, it plagues me. This guy right here, when we got ready to sing it, he looks at me and says, there's a balm in Gilead. Mm-hmm. There is balm in Gilead, indeed. Sometimes our words come back to haunt us. Sometimes what we say is not what we mean. Sometimes we open our mouths and we speak and we see those words flying out of our mouths, and we wish we could reach out and grab them and pull them back in so that they won't get heard and received, and so they won't hurt someone else. So often, our words can hurt, viciously hurt others. They can be anything but a balm. They can be a balm for the soul. Today we have a warning about exactly that in Ephesians. Paul wrote, so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Did you hear that? I mean, sometimes the words just kind of sail by and we don't hear them. Hear part of that again. Be angry, but do not sin. The word here, anger, is the Greek word orgizomai, which means relatively angry, full of anger, explosively angry, furious, but it's immediate. It's not long-lasting. It's impulsive, immediate, kind of anger. Not the long-lasting, deep-seated, soul-gnawing anger and loathing, but the immediate kind of anger, or orgizomai. Just as a little aside, Rose, English professor that you are, we get the word orgasm from orgizomai. Explosive action, orgizomai. Relatively or immediately angry. Notice what he says. Be angry. Be orgizomai. If you're going to be angry, be explosively, furiously, immediately angry, but do not sin. You can have godly anger and not sin. Interesting. Be angry, he says, but do not sin. And here's how you do that. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, that's the hard part right there. If it's explosive, furious, immediate anger, the kind of anger that just sort of rushes out of you and then is done, to take it to bed with you just lets it fester. Just lets it eat away at the core of your being. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Get it out and get it over with. You know, that's a problem that a lot of people have. We hold in our emotions. We hold in close to ourselves our hurts and our disappointments, our frustrations and our angers. We hold in our fears. We hold in our emotions. We hold them in so close to us, we let not just one day go down on them. We let 3 days and 10 days and 6 weeks go down on our anger. And we hold it in. And it eats. And it festers. And it destroys. It becomes a bomb. B-O-M-B. Bomb. Exploding our soul. Be angry, Paul wrote, but do not sin. Do not allow the sun to go down on your anger. Don't take it to bed with you. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. You know, it's easy to write, and I'm sure it's easy for Paul to have said, but if we are honest, if we're honest with ourselves, and if we're honest with each other, this is anything but easy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. The word evil there, it translates an interesting word from Greek. Sapros. Rotten, literally. Rotten, bad, corrupted, harmful, unwholesome, corrupting. Like when you have a piece of fruit and you let it sit on your counter and let it start to rot, that rot will spread from one piece of fruit to another piece of fruit. That rot will eat away and destroy even good fruit. Sapros, rotten words. Logos sapros, the words that are rotten. Don't allow rotten words to come out of your mouths. Words that destroy, words that corrupt, words that eat away, words that harm. Evil words, yes, rotten words. And yet, so often, we who are the church, we who are Christians, we who are children of God, we who are called to be the body of Christ, we who are called to be the light on a hillside, we who are called to be a light in the darkness, we who are called to be the voice and the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ, we who are called to express the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ, we who are called to be truly the mouth speaking God's grace, instead speak sapros, logos, rotten words. Paul says, let no rotten words come out of your mouths. No bad words, no corrupted words, no harmful words, no unwholesome words, no corrupting words. Let no sapros logos, rotten words, come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Oh, it's so easy to open our mouths and speak sapros logos, rotten words. It is so easy to open our mouths and stick our foot inside. And I, for one, am guilty of doing that. Speaking an unfeeling, unkind, unthinking word, speaking the worst and not the best, speaking words not grace, not words that give grace to others, but words that are rotten. My friends, I think if we are honest, we would admit that that is a temptation which each of us feels, that is a temptation, a sin, that it is so easy to stumble into. My friends, Paul's words are clear. Let no rotten words come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Our words can be rotting, but they can also give grace. Isn't that amazing? That this little organ right here, your tongue, you know, it's not easy to tame your tongue, to control your tongue. Try it. Try it. Take your fingers, stick out your tongue, and grab a hold of it. And while you're holding your tongue, try to talk. Right, you can't do it. Trying to control your tongue makes it nearly impossible to be understood saying anything. Oh, my friends, we can't control our tongues, but God's Holy Spirit can. I heard an amen back there. I think we all need to affirm that. We can't control our tongues, but God's Holy Spirit can.
Amen.
Thank you. The word amen means so be it. And when we say that, we are affirming it for ourselves. We are affirming that God's Holy Spirit can tame and control our tongue, can make our words be not sapros logos, rotten words, but instead words that give grace. So that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. That's an interesting phrase. Do not grieve. Lupeo, the Greek word. Lupeo, grieve. It means to cause someone to be sad, sorrowful, or distressed. To make sad or to sadden. To grieve. Don't make sad the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with our sapros logos, with our rotten words. When we speak evil of each other, when we gossip, when we backbite, when we speak unthinking, unfeeling, unkindred words, when we speak not as the body of Christ, but as a body of sinners, when we speak not as Jesus would have us speak, but as Satan, the devil, would have us speak. We are speaking rotten words, not words that give grace. We are speaking words that grieve the Holy Spirit, not words that build up and lift up. Oh, my friends, Paul here is clear. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Those words describe the emotional content which causes us to speak out sapros logos, rotten words. Bitterness, wrath, anger. That's a different word here than the other word, anger. Not the word, the kind of anger, the orgasmic anger, but thumos. It means intense anger with destructive, lasting presence. Not just your short little term anger that comes out and is over with. Not the short term anger that bursts forth and is done. But a long, deep-seating, festering, destructive, corrupting anger. Thumos. Interesting. Related to the word in Greek for death. An anger that brings death. Thumos. Bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, together with all malice. This describes what happens, the emotional content of what happens when we speak rotten words. Instead of this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. If we are kind, if we are tender-hearted, if we are forgiving of one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, we won't be bitter. We won't be wrathful. We won't be angry, thumos, festeringly angry. We won't be wrangling and arguing with clamor. We won't be slandering one another. We won't be acting with malice. Kind and tender-hearted and forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven us, doesn't go with sapros logos, doesn't go with rotten words. Instead, we are called to forgive. We are called to give grace, graceful words, not words that blow up the sin-sick soul, but words that are a balm to soothe and heal. There are words that hurt, and there are words that heal. There are words that destroy. There are words that build up. There are words that attack and sin. And there are words that forgive. We are called to be a means of grace for each other with our words. And give grace to each other and to others outside these doors, outside this building, to those who need to hear the grace of Jesus Christ. We are called to speak not rotten words, but words of grace. We're called to speak words of forgiveness, words of the love and presence of Jesus. Words, yes, that are true. Words, yes, that confront sin. Words, yes, that stand in opposition to unrighteousness, but words that express the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, the love of God which sent His Son, our Savior, to the cross to die for us. Those are not rotten words, my friends. Those are not sapros logos. Those are words of grace. And words that we as the body of Christ need to be speaking. My friends, I encourage you, from the youngest to the oldest, to be speaking words of grace, words of kindness, words of gentle-heartedness, words that express the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not words that are rotten, words that hurt, words that tear down, but words that build up.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.